Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Oh, there it is. Australia have won the third test in indoor. What a comeback by Steve Smith's men. They win an hour and a half into the third day's play. Paul, what a morning.
Oh, fantastic. It was a bit nerve-wracking there. Khawaja out, second ball. And then I think it was 10 overs. Australia scored 13 runs. And then in the 11th over, they scored 13 runs. And it was that moment where Travis Head hit a four, a six, I think a two and a one. And then the next over, he cracked another four. And from then on, it was absolutely guaranteed that Australia was going to win. Got a bit nerve-wracking, but they're very satisfying win in the end.
Yeah, so, I mean, you summed it up nicely there. But everyone, welcome to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menes. I'm with my co-host, Paul Dennett. This is our wrap of the indoor test. It's ended early on the third day. Australia needed 76 runs to win. They do it with 9 wickets in hand. Head 49 not out of 53 balls with 6 boundaries and a 6. Manus Labuschagne 28 of 58 deliveries not out with 6 boundaries. And yes, Paul said before that second ball of the day, Khawaja leant forward and the ball just touched the feather, a little whisker of his bat, and Barrett took a good catch behind, and Ashwin got an early wicket. And you're right, it was nerve-wracking that next half an hour. I sent you a message that, you know, this might finish like midway through the second session. But, yeah, once Head got going, it was just one-way traffic.
It was. It was interesting, again, with that edge from Khawaja. Once again, it's disproved the truism that we always thought that I used to always say, you know, the batter always knows whether they've hit the ball. Well, clearly, Khawaja didn't know because he wouldn't have actually challenged the decision. And I don't think he did that just because it was, a small chase and you might as well throw one away. I mean, if you know you hit it, you're not going to squander one. So, it just shows that just shows to go. And then, it was very telling how Head just sort of motored home. It was amusing. I don't know if you saw in the press conference afterwards that they'd been ascribing Head's change in attitude to when the ball was changed. They were saying that a message was sent out by Steve Smith telling them now's the time to attack. And Travis Head, when he was asked about, was there a message sent out, just went, no. Looking absolutely baffled. There was no message. We were just playing cricket. So I thought it was a little bit funny.
I mean, I think more tactically, I did hear Nathan Lyon say in the press conference that it does get a bit easier to bat when the ball just gets a little bit softer. So you can imagine after the 10 overs where it's just been worn a little bit, it'll be easier to play shots, a little bit less bite in the wicket. I think less to do with about the ball changing. And
I wasn't saying it was the ball change. I was saying that they were saying in commentary that the Australians took the opportunity with the ball change.
I'm agreeing. It's more that the ball was getting old by then, so it was easy to play shots. Nothing to do with the ball being changed. And then the other thing was, like, a lot of batsmen, you know, ex-Aussie batters have said, when you're in India, it's good just to take your time in that first 20 minutes, just get used to the conditions. And I think you saw that with Head and Labuschagne. They really, you know, they weathered that early storm. They played straight and then they made it look a lot easier. So, I mean, I think it's a vindication of sort of tactics that AB and, you know, the greats have been saying all tour.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You play yourself in and then you play your shots. But it would have been interesting if one or two of those, there was no real half chances, but there was a few oohs and ahs. And there was if one or two of those had gone out, then it could have been a very different story. But all's well that ends well.
Yeah, so it's 2-1 to India. Australia have the chance to level the series in Mumbai next week. I mean, I just want to step back and sort of look at the match as a whole. So, I mean, the real key performances for Australia, you've got Koonerman on the first day taking 5 for 16, and then you've got Lyons 11 wickets. Sort of, you know, they bowled really well, and I think set this victory up. Probably Lyons' second innings a little bit more, considering, you know, at one stage there it looked like India might post a decent target.
Yes, and I think we mentioned yesterday as well, there was that key turning point where Smith took that magnificent catch to dismiss Pujara. There was another turning point that I forgot to mention yesterday, and that was, and you're going to say this is a great captaincy from Steve Smith, but I thought it was good captaincy, it was a logical choice, but there was a period where the Indians suddenly started to accelerate. Just after they got past the lead, suddenly the balls were being belted to the boundary with some regularity, and it just had that feeling of this is looking dangerous for Australia. Stark was brought back on and he bowled a pretty ordinary ball that probably its only merit was that it had a slight bit of tailing in, and was it Shreyas Iyer who whipped it off his pads, and Khawaja took an absolute fantastic catch at sort of mid wicket. He caught it in a with his hands, his fingers pointing downwards, even though the ball was really low, and he somehow managed to twist his body so that the ball then didn't touch the ground. But that, if anything, was even a bigger turning point than the Smith catch, and I forgot to mention that yesterday. But when that shot was hit and that catch was taken, that was I couldn't believe it. And then to have to go through the agony of them checking it, and I was thinking, oh, don't tell me he's grounded the ball somewhere here when they checked it with the third umpire, but it was all good. So a great moment for Khawaja there.
Yeah, speaking of Smith's captaincy, Sam, one of our loyal listeners, sent me a message saying that he thinks one of the things Smith did really well was block off the singles in the Indian innings yesterday. He thinks he did that a bit better than Cummins. Yes, so, yeah, I think he was directing that at you.
Look, he might have done. I can't say for sure that I noticed that, but, I'm all for blocking off of singles. But, Menas, I know you did promise that what your homework is, you're going to go back through watching every single ball of the first three test matches, and you're going to, in a very impartial and unbiased way, write a series of notes, design an algorithm, and you're going to work out whether or not there was any difference in the captaincy. We're looking forward to that in the next podcast.
Yes. Sam also pointed out you said that Head is a better bowler than India than Nathan Lyon, and you didn't provide any figures for that.
I know. I did say that.
Sam was just being funny. Sam's got a good sense of humor. He's a loyal listener.
No. I mean, it was right. I mean, I have had a mea culpa with my Lyon thing, and I've forgotten that I'd added that as well. So, yes, you couldn't get it much more wrong than that. So,
yeah.
Apologies.
So, you know,
to Lyon.
Yeah. Now, Kuhneman, great match. Lyon, great match. You know, Khawaja, what, the top scorer of the game with 60 in the end in Australia's first innings. So, yeah, he batted well, and that's why I was kind of so jarring when he got out second ball, because he was sort of hoping he could just hang around for a while. But, I mean, you have to say this pitch was below par to end before lunch on the third day. It went Australia's way. We made the most of the conditions, but this was not test standard.
No, and we've for those of you who've listened to us for years, Menes and I have absolutely castigated the Australian pitchers so many times, to the point where Menes once did it on air in a Sheffield Shield game and had the SCG curator contact Cricket New South Wales. He was so angry at the criticism that he dished out. So we are not just cheerleaders for Australian pitchers, but we've got to say that this pitch was prepared by India to try to be a massive turner, which is not how it's meant to be. It's meant to be you should be preparing the best pitch to produce the best cricket for the prevailing conditions. And I don't think India need to do that. That they have such an amazing home record. They have such a fantastic side. They don't need to put themselves in a position where people can say, oh, yeah, you only won it because you produced a caricature of your own pitches. And in this case, they were hoisted by their own petard. It would be like if we had said, right, we're going to produce, every time India come out here, we're going to produce a wicket that is 1 foot bouncier than the Wacker. We're going to put in a drop in the SCG and make it an absolute bounce-a-thon. Australia would be rightly criticised if they did that. So I think it's correct for this pitch to be criticised. Having said that, this pitch and the first two pitches have produced some of the most highly watchable cricket I've ever seen. And, you know, a bit like the Gabba that was... the Gabba pitch earlier this year was a poor pitch, but it was not produced with an intention of being poor. It was just that the weather... got to the weather was such that the curator wasn't able to produce the pitch that he wanted, and it turned out to be a vastly underprepared pitch, but it was very entertaining. This one's probably a vastly overprepared pitch. It was also very entertaining, but it doesn't excuse the fact that it was a poor pitch.
I mean, I will say I disagree that it's very entertaining, because, you know, there's two sides littered with some great batters, and we're not seeing them perform at all. It's just too hard for them. So, as I said, they've just got the balance wrong. But, yes, now there's some questions in the chat. Anything you want to add about this test before we head to the chat, Paul?
Just one thing that it's not strictly speaking about this test, but I've noticed cropping up in social media, Harsha Bogle even tweeted it out, that there's this perception that Australia were appealing for stumpings with almost spuriously, because they thought that there was a caught behind. And so... whip the bails off, appeal for stumping, and then take it to the fact that the third umpire, the umpire think, oh, we better refer that. And then the rule is, once it's referred, all aspects of the dismissal have to be checked. And they're saying, oh, this is a dodgy way that the Australians are getting a free review. It's not nothing of the sort. I mean, for a start, it's not new. There's been times when, particularly when it comes to was it a bump, was it a clean catch or not, umpires have sometimes... been very happy to sort of think, well, I'm not actually sure whether he got an outside edge on that, so I'll say I'm not sure about the cleanness of the catch, and that way we'll get the technology to check it. If the umpires think that the Australians' appeal for stumping was nonsense and the batter was clearly not out, just give it not out. You don't have to refer it to the third umpire. The reason the umpires are referring these ones is because they want to get the caught behinds right as well. And who would blame them? You don't want to be in a position where you make a wrong decision. We have all this technology available. As I said before, I think we are moving towards the point where we are going to have all decisions scrutinised by the technology, often in the background if needs be, like the way that they check no balls. But I just think it's a non-issue. And I don't think the Australians have done anything wrong. And it's just kind of a minor bugbear of mine over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it either. And just before we move to the chat, just on India's performance in this test match, I think where they went wrong is clearly they didn't bat well in the first innings, and that's what put them behind in the game. I thought they were a bit complacent, but I thought Australia bowled well. And then I don't think they bowled as well as they did in the first two test matches in that first innings. Their lengths were all over the place, and it wasn't till, you know, they got Australia to collapse to 6 for 11 that they really got it right. So, yeah, India were a bit off. Australia improved a lot. And there you go. The conditions were in Australia's favour, and they win their first match. And what have they won, like three? So they won one in 2017, and then I don't think they'd won one since 2004. So
I think that's right, yeah. No, it's
so they won two
time.
In 2004, one in 2017, and now 1 year. It's like four in 20-plus years.
Well, one in 2001 as well.
Yeah.
But I think that India probably – yeah, they didn't bat well enough in the first innings, and maybe they'll feel that they probably should have. That when they were on top of Australia at that point that I was talking about in the second innings, when it felt like the Australians were about to be batted out of the game, that India let slip an opportunity there.
Yeah, agree.
Yes.
All right. So let's go to the questions in the chat. So Stephen Matlock, good point. That is the World Test Championship final confirmed for Australia. And he's asked, can we level the series 2-2? I think it's a possibility. But, yeah, congratulations to Australia. They'll be at, I think, is it Lords?
Oval.
The Oval in June for the World Test Championship final. And it should be against Sri Lanka or India if they win the last match.
It's funny because I really want Australia to draw this series 2-2, and I really want Australia to win the World Test Championship. And obviously, if Australia was to be playing Sri Lanka at the Oval, Australia would start as unbackable favourites, and you'd say you'd almost pencil them in for the win. Despite all that, it would be actually disappointing to not have Australia versus India at the Oval. It'd be a much more landmark match, and it would get a lot more interest in world sport.
Agree. Sandeep, make Steve Smith permanent captain.
Have they ever done that before? Have they made him permanent captain before? I'm not. Did that go well? I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I'd be happy with that, Sandeep. He certainly wasn't a perfect captain at the first
instance. I'd have no problem with him being captain permanently. And I said at the time, I'm okay with it. But I think Cummins is deserving of being able to continue as captain. I don't think anything that's happened in this test match changes that. And I still think that the best thing that has happened in the Cummins era is that the Australian side is now playing with grace that they have never played with in my living memory of the Australian test side. And I'm more proud of them in the way that they play than I have ever been in the past by quite a sizable margin because of the way that they play.
Aiden, question, guys. Head, does he open in England? I don't think so. I think you want him in the middle order. But what do you think, Paul?
It's an interesting one. I tend to think you'd want him in away from the opening position. I think we should be opening with right-handers in England. It's so difficult, left-handers opening the batting in England, that I'd almost push Khawaja down the order as well.
Now, there's a couple of questions previewing the next match. I think Paul and I, we should catch up between now and the next test match and do a bit of a longer episode, preview the fourth test, also touch on some other stories because there's now going to be quite a big gap because this test match is finished so early. So let's leave some of those questions on the next test match. And here's some nice, sometimes Indian fans can give us a bit of stick, but Dr. Rawal says, well done, Australia. Congrats on winning the match.
Thank you.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for joining me on our wrap of the day of day three from indoor. Australia get a famous win, and congratulations. I predicted it before this test match. It was Australia's best 11 they've had all a series, so I'm glad they got the win, and I think 2-2 is a possibility.
Certainly is. The only disappointing thing about today is that now means we've only got one test match left in this series, and part of me thinks that it would just be a nice thing to have on every second week for the rest of history, an Australia-India test match in India. I'd be quite happy with that.
You would certainly schedule them four-day test matches because, well, we've had 15 days scheduled and we've had basically 7.5, almost 8 days of cricket. So, yeah, they've been quick, but India still retain the Borders Gavaskar Trophy, and Australia will play in the World Test Championship final. Thanks for listening to our podcast or watching on YouTube, and we'll be back next week with a full episode.
Bye.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now, driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.